Susan, we love you. You're going to have a great time. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Susan, I believe this trip is going to be different to every other trip that you've made, but it's going to be a time of rejoicing. There's going to be something very special about this trip. You'll be rejoicing all the way there. You'll rejoice all the time you are there, and you're going to rejoice all the way back again. And it's just going to be a whole time of rejoicing. So get ready for the blessing. Hallelujah. All right, praise the Lord. Now this morning I want to talk to you, because the Lord has been speaking to my heart about this faith teaching that we've been doing for years. You know, as Naomi said earlier, we've been doing this for over 40 years, heading towards 50 years. And again, the Lord has been speaking to my heart about the basics of all of this. I mean, it's such really a simple message, but so many people don't seem to get it. And so I believe God's been directing me, and if you read today's newsletter, you'll see it's about coming up to new levels of faith. But if you missed Thursday night with Dwayne Sheriff, you missed, as Naomi has already said, an abundantly great DVD. It was just right up there. It was one of the best we've ever had. And he talked about Christ's identity from Romans chapter 8, not to mention the good supper we had provided by Sam and Jackie as well. But the message of the gospel, the message of the Word of God, it's the source of your faith, but it's also the power by which your faith grows and matures in you and in me as we begin to realize who we really are. It's important that we come to that place. Naomi mentioned 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." We have to come to that place, as Dwayne Sheriff said on Thursday night, where we realize we're no longer, to use his phrase, in the Adams family. He meant the family of Adam, but he was being funny with it and talking about the Adams family. Because if you've ever watched the Adams family, that television program from a few years ago, you'll remember that they thought everybody else was strange. Yet they were strange. And it's a bit like that being a Christian. Everybody thinks we're strange, but we think everyone else is strange. We think we're right, and they all there think they're right. But you see, when we realize who we are, we're no longer in Adam number one. We've now been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. So we're now in the last Adam, and we come to that place where we start to live from that perspective. We're starting to see life from the throne rather than from where we're standing. We start to see things as God sees them, starting to look at things. Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter, as you already know, because we've talked about it so many times. But I want to challenge you to read Hebrews chapter 11 again, all the way through this week, several times if you can, because it will help to challenge you. It will help to keep your faith current and keep your faith sharp. Now listen to what the dictionary says about faith. Faith is an allegiance to duty or to a person, the belief and trust in and loyalty to God. Read that again. The dictionary says faith is an allegiance to duty or to a person, the belief and trust in and loyalty to God. If you got your Bible, turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11 and find verse number 6. Hebrews 11 and 6. You know the verse. We've read it and quoted it so many times. And this is what it says. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I would like you, if you've got your own Bible, when you get the CD or if you make notes, to begin to mark your Bible. You know, God's not going to get angry with you if you put some marks in your Bible. You start to highlight passages that mean something to you. You see, God considers faith so important. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. That he mentions it 20 times in Hebrews chapter 11. He brings the word faith into that chapter 11 20 times. That means God places a very high priority on it. He considers it very, very, very important. And we've got to come to that place where we realize that it is important. In fact, Jesus talked a lot about faith, different kinds of faith, and we'll look at a number of them. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, it says this, Romans 1 and 17, it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." So faith is a growing matter. And if you want a title for today's message, you could simply say faith grows. So faith is important. God considers it important. And it only grows as you use it and allow it to flow through you. Now listen to some of these references. I'm just going to quickly refer to them. In Mark 9 and 19, Jesus talked about no faith. This is where he's talking to the Pharisees and the people of his day, and he says, "You're a faithless generation." Faithless means no faith. In Luke 8 and 25, he talked about misplaced faith. He's in the boat with the disciples. The storm comes up, and he says, "Where is your faith?" So it was misplaced. They didn't have the faith in him. In Matthew 14 and 31, when Peter's walking on the water and he begins to sink, Jesus said, "Why did you doubt, O you of little faith?" So that's another kind of faith. In Romans 4 and 19, it talks about Abraham, who being not weak in faith, and in verse 20, it says he was strong in faith. He staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith. So there's no faith, misplaced faith, little faith, weak faith, strong faith. And in Matthew 8, of course, when Jesus is talking to the centurion, he says, "I haven't found so great faith, no, not in all Israel." He said, "I haven't found this kind of faith in the church." And the interesting thing, the word that's used there in Matthew 8, 10, for great, the Greek word is megas, M-E-G-A-S, and it means enormous and strong. So Jesus said, "I haven't found this kind of enormous and strong faith, no, not in the church." So God has given each one of us a measure of faith to start with, but it's up to us to develop it, to find out how it works, to mature it, to use it, so it will become useful and please God. So we have to do that. But the interesting thing about faith is that it's already in you if you're born again. If you've received the Lord, if you've had that experience of being born again, it's already inside of you, but it's got to come out. Let me say this to you. Each one of us here this morning, we have enough faith to do whatever it is that God is calling us to do if we start to release it. See, too many people are spending their days looking up to heaven and saying, "Oh God, I need, I want help." He said it's already in you, but you've got to learn to develop it and use it. God has given you everything you need. You already have it. I like Andrew Womack's message where he says, "You've already got it." And that's true. We've already got it. And it's on the inside of us. And over the last, 40 plus years, I guess, the thing that I've heard most people say when I teach about faith is this: "I tried that, but it didn't work." When you say that, you've just canceled your faith. "I tried it, but it didn't work." Well, you've just canceled out. It's not going to work. See, you don't try faith, you do faith. You don't try it, you actually do it. Jesus said in Matthew 12 and 34, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak." So it's already in. And the more of the word that you feed into your spirit man, the more faith there will be in there. But the way it gets out, it comes out through your mouth. I like what Mark Hankins had to say. If you haven't read any of Mark Hankins' stuff, I'd recommend his ministry to you. He's an American man, and he came through the Kenneth Hagin Bible School. He talks about Dad Hagin said this and Dad Hagin said that. That's old Kenneth Hagin he's referring to. But he said, never charge your giant with your mouth shut. When you're running at a giant, open your mouth and you start talking to him like David did. Today I'm going to take off your head. Today God is going, you have to keep saying it. Speaking your faith, it comes out of the inside of you. So you have to let it come out. It will work. Faith works through your mouth, but it comes out of your inner man, it comes out of your spirit. Listen to this, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in what? The power of your tongue. So that means faith is coming out of your spirit, but it has to come out of your mouth. Death and life are in what you say. But Norman, you don't understand. I've had this pain all week. Okay? That's your testimony. That's your confession. That's your faith working. I have this pain. I have this problem. I have this difficulty. You're prophesying your own end time. You're prophesying what it is that you want to happen because you've already acknowledged what the devil's doing in you. Proverbs 18:14 says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily sickness. The strong spirit, the strong core, the strong heart, if you like, is what the Bible says. See, the faith is already located on the inside of you. So we need to start letting it out. We need to start speaking it out. And when you start speaking it out, it will change things. It will change the circumstances. Now remember, I said that God used the word faith 20 times in Hebrews 11. And in verse 1, he said this, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, everybody here this morning, I'm telling you this right now, that somewhere along the line, God has given you an idea. I don't know what that idea is. It could be an idea about doing something to, by way of an investment to, you know, make finances available. It could be insight into some witty invention. I don't know what the idea is. But everybody here today, God has given you an idea or a thought. But most people never put any substance or tangibility to the idea that God gives them. In other words, they don't use their faith. Most people just see it as an idea and, oh, well, maybe I'll put it on the shelf. Never actually develop it. Let me tell you a little story this morning. I think you'll probably appreciate this. A man by the name of Martin Cooper. I wonder how many of you know who Martin Cooper is. Tom's smiling. He probably knows who he is. Martin Cooper is a Motorola company researcher and executive, and he's the man who invented the first mobile telephone. He didn't just think about inventing a mobile phone that could be taken everywhere rather than being continually plugged into the wall. He actually began to apply the power of his faith to the idea that God gave him. And if you consider now, how many mobile phones are in the world today? I told you, I think, several weeks ago that I read recently that 97% of the world's population of whatever number of billions of people there are, actually have or have use of a mobile phone. Now, think about that for a second. That means that potentially 97% of the world's population have access to the gospel being preached. Because on your mobile phone, you can get all the versions of the Bible. You can spend time in here and hear sermons preached. I mean, everything in this little black instrument that I carry in my shirt pocket. And if you remember, I shared with you a few weeks ago that Patrick, who's sitting up the back there, told me that there's more power in this little mobile phone that I'm holding in my hand than what they had when they sent the first man to the moon. Now think about that. You have more power in your shirt pocket, Thomas, than what they used to send a spaceship to the moon. It doesn't bear thinking about. So potentially, just about everyone in the world has access to the gospel. Whether they want it or not is neither here nor there. They have access to it. It can be preached to them. And Jesus said, when that happens, he's coming back. When the gospel is preached to the whole world, then he's going to come back. So God obviously places a very high priority on faith as a lifestyle for every one of us. We need to develop this faith, because faith is what you have when you don't have what you want. And when there's an obstacle or a mountain, if you like, it's the precursor to you being able to use your faith. There's got to be something to overcome in order to use your faith. It may be a sickness, it may be a need, whatever it is. There's something that has to be dealt with. And remember Jesus said, Mark 11 and 23, he said, "For assuredly I say to you that whoever," what's the next word? "Says to this mountain." Whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, and it will happen." So faith is important. We use our faith to get what we need. And I think God would be unfair if he said, "You must have faith to please me," but he didn't tell us how to have it. He would be very unfair if he said, "You can't please me without faith," and then just leave us wondering, "Okay, that would be wonderful. I want to please you, but where do I get this faith?" Let me read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. I believe this is what I would call God's development plan of faith. Listen to the words. This is Paul speaking. "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith." Might perfect or mature, if you like, that which is lacking in your faith. The New Living Testament gives verse 10 like this. "Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill up the gaps in your faith." To fill up the gaps in your faith. See, Paul is showing a plan to fill up the gaps in your faith. There has to be a development of faith. And if you read through Thessalonians, you'll see that it took 2 months for that to happen. When you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, you find this is 2 months later. He says, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." Your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity or the love of every one of you all toward each other abounds. So 2 months in, and this prayer is being answered. That which is perfecting their faith, that which is lacking is being filled up. It's maturing. The ESV version says this: "Your faith is growing abundantly." The NIV says, "Your faith is growing more and more." The Message Bible says, "Your faith is growing phenomenally." And the New Living Testament, "Your faith is flourishing." So we all start out somewhere. If you're born again, you already have faith in you. But we develop that by using it. When we started out, we didn't have all that much faith. I'd read some things about faith. I'd read some of E.W. Kenyon's little books. I thought, "Oh my, that's wonderful. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to have. That's what I really want to spend my life on. God has given me an encouragement to do that." And so we start out with this measure, if you like, but it's got to grow. So let me just do a little quick review for you about what I've said so far. Number one, faith is of God. It is His power that's released from within us when we use our faith. Your faith can grow exceedingly, as Paul says, but we all start out with the same level, but we have to grow our faith. Now, in Romans chapter 12, the first few verses, it says this, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable, holy unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That is, every man among you, every man in the church he's referring to, every man who's born again, he has dealt to us a measure. Now, just let me make a side issue. The measure that he's given you is the same measure that he used when he raised Jesus from the dead. So we're already way ahead in what we should be able to do and what God expects of us and what we are pleasing him to do. Now, let me take you another one. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. 2 Peter 1, 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. So this all comes through the Word, as we spend the time in the Word. The ESV version says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing to ours. And the New Living Testament says, I'm writing to you who share the same precious faith that we have. So what that's telling me is that every one of us who are born again, we have the same faith as Jesus. We have the same faith as Peter or Paul, because we are the seed of Abraham. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And then Galatians 3:29 says, if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, what about this faith of Abraham? And we've talked on this so many times, but let me read a little bit more to you. In Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. Romans 4, talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. So we come to a place using our faith where we actually believe that God is true to his word and he can do what he has promised to do. The Passion Translation, let me read that to you. I think this is good. The Passion Translation. It says, against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. In spite of being nearly 100 years old, and the promise of having a son, was made, his faith was so strong that it could not be undermined by the fact that he and Sarah were incapable of conceiving a child. He never stopped believing God's promise, for he was made strong in his faith to father a child, and because he was mighty in faith and convinced that God had all the power needed to fulfill his promises, Abraham glorified God. So how did Abraham come to this place of faith? He had a word. God said, you're going to become a dad. You're going to become the father of many nations. And you see, it's the same with you and me. We need to have a word from God. Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing the word of God. But you know, it doesn't just come by hearing the word. It's also a gift from God, the scripture says. And because faith is a gift from God, and this is the season where we give and receive gifts and look forward to all of this Christmas stuff that we do, some of it totally unnecessary. But if you gave me a gift, for example, I don't need it, but say you gave me a gift of a camera. If you've got a mobile phone, you've probably got a camera in it. But if you gave me a gift of a camera and I just left it sitting under the tree, and you happen to come around to my house and we're now into January the 31st and you see your parcel still sitting there unopened, you'd wonder why. Norm, why didn't you open the parcel? You expect me to unwrap your gift. You expect me to use your gift. And you expect me to show you the evidence, the photographs of having used the gift. God gives you the gift of faith. He expects you to use it. God doesn't want you just to keep your faith wrapped up and leave it under the tree to next year. He wants you to use it. That's how you please Him, by using it. And I need you to remember that faith is a law, tells Romans 3:27, faith is a law. And just because faith is a law, it's going to work every time. It's interesting when you think about laws, because laws are things that work every time you put them to work, and the law of faith will work the same way as natural laws work, with the same precision, the same predictability, just like any other natural law. Natural laws affect natural things. That's it. Spiritual law, the law of faith, affects spiritual things, but it also can change natural things. I mean, there's a storm coming in on the boat. Jesus says no. Faith stopped the storm. Lepers come to Him. Oh Lord, touch us, heal us. These lepers, they get healed by obeying the word He gave them. Go show yourself to the priest. As they go, they discover they've been healed. Only one comes back. Now listen to the story. I'm not going to spend time on it this morning. One of the lepers came back and said, thank you, I appreciate it. His faith praise to Jesus. Jesus' response was, your faith has made you whole. The other lepers got healed. They were still missing ears, missing nose, missing fingers, missing toes. They got healed, but the one who came back and said, thank you, he got wholeness. These are things we need to understand. These are laws that work. Let me finish this morning on one last scripture in the book of Philemon. Not a book that we spend a lot of time in, but it says in Philemon 1 and verse 6, that the communication of your faith may become effectual, listen to it, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, how did I tell you your faith works? Comes out of your mouth. You can read in the scripture where it talks about Jesus coming back and out of His mouth is a sharp sword. The word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So we need to be speaking out the word of God. Listen to these other translations of Philemon 1:6. The message says, I keep praying that this faith we hold in common keeps showing up in the good things we do and that people recognize Christ in all of it. The Passion Translation says, I pray for you that the faith we share may effectively deepen your understanding of every good thing that belongs to you in Christ. The Amplified Bible says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective and powerful because of your accurate knowledge of every good thing which is yours in Christ. He says, acknowledge the good things that are in you in Christ. He doesn't say acknowledge the bad things that are happening. Acknowledge the good things that are in you. Let me make this final statement to you this morning. Your life depends on what you do with your faith. I'm going to give you a little exercise to do. If you're here this morning, Robert Williams isn't here. Robert's the man. He's usually sitting in the back there in his wheelchair. I want you to take Robert on your heart this week. Start to use your faith. Start to speak out of your mouth. Thank you, Father. I'm praying for Robert this week. Lord, I want you to touch Robert. Father, touch him and heal him. Restore him so he's out of that chair and walking about like every other born-again person should be walking about. Take Robert onto your heart this week and start to use your faith. There's an exercise for you. Start to use your faith to believe for someone else. And you know what? When you start to reach out to believe for someone else's health, God's going to start touching you. And whatever you need in your life, in your health, is going to come to pass. So let's use Robert as the fulcrum this morning. Can we just pray for him this week, each one of us, spend time, pray. He doesn't need to know about it, but you just pray, Robert, oh God, touch Robert. Every time you think about him, oh Lord, I want to see him out of that wheelchair. I want to see him perfect. I want to see those legs straightened. I want to see all those knots and all those things gone out of his. Perfect, in Jesus' name. Will you do that? You start to use, see, remember, Galatians 5:6, faith does what? Works by. Father, we love Robert, so we want to use our faith and see him well. Can you take this morning, or is it too much? Okay, praise the Lord. Yulu, thank you. Come and finish for us.